your powder dry, folks. Hey, good evening, everybody. We're going to try to get this baby rocking and rolling. I can tell everybody right now that the fascist book pages are still not working. I worked on something today. It did not work. So hopefully everyone's finding their way either over to Rumble or to our YouTube, and we'll see what's going on. I still don't have a clue. I just don't tell. And I did pop Twitch back up there, so you can go check out Twitch too.
Well, it came up also on the came up on my end over on our 701 page. So
On Facebook?
Not the video. Yeah, not the video. Just the
It sends it right over to the web page, which is fine. Go watch us there. You just can't comment is the big thing. So.
Right.
Anyways. I have no clue what's going on with that. And I was on with their support people today and it just didn't work. Hey, Brian, good to see you. Josh, got Eric Newman, fellow MVEs. Good to see you here tonight. I can tell you, though, that as much as I can't stand fascist book, it doesn't help out. It really don't that's down for some reason. And I see Twitter's down tonight, so I don't know what's going on. I know it has to do with logins, and if people have been in and out of there, you know, you, me, or Jamie, I don't know. But, yeah. Hey, David, good to see you. Trampas, good to see you as well. One shot, we're there, so good enough. That's good to see. And Rumble should be up and running, and it is. So I'm over there right now looking, and, Rumble is up and rocking and rolling. So if you do comment over there, I'll just go ahead and just mention those right here. Sierra. Hey, Sierra, that is Eric's daughter. I'm pretty sure that's who that is. Good to have her on tonight. Well, let's get this thing started right away, really, like we do every single show, and that's with our fantastic Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And, boy, do we have a show about Second Amendment tonight.
Yes, we do.
I mean, it's all Second Amendment. So.
And we got a lot of stuff in the win columns as well.
So. We do. It's been a good week for the Second Amendment, especially in the Supreme Court. Of course, you got Biden. He's out there wandering around, eating ice cream, not, you know, being led around and still calling for more, yet more gun control.
I'm in Biden vision tonight.
Except you don't have Jill holding your hand, leading you. Again, too, thank our great sponsors, Lauer Auto Repair. We can't do it without them guys. 309 South Washington Street, 701-258-6308, I believe, if I remember right. Right. I think I've got it memorized now, Axel. Anyway. And, of course, we got Bloodline Kinetics, another great headliner sponsor. We want to thank all them guys as well. We also picked up Little Angry Man Firearms, LLC, over there in Trail City. So that's a brand-new sponsor. So like I said, we're doing a little bit more for him right now. And you can contact him and find him at littleangrymanarms.com. 26120 128th Street, Trail City, South Dakota. But go to littleangrymanarms.com. He also has a Facebook page. You can find him over there as well. I think we tagged him when I put up the ad on our Facebook page. So pretty easy to find him. And of course, we don't want to forget. And Mandan Sporting Goods come back on board with us. We're happy to have Brandon in the team. He's got a new building. Me and Jamie are still waiting to hear when he's going to do his grand opening, because we want to go up there and have some fun with that.
There we go.
Next week, though, 100th episode.
100
episodes. That's hard to believe. And we got a little something extra for you. We're going to have that certificate. You and I got to talk about how we want to give that away, but we'll do it live on the show next week to Bloodline Kinetics. And I think you're going to want to get in on that, everybody.
So that's going to be pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So it's great. We're growing and growing, and little by little, and we've got new segments we're putting in and new stuff we're doing in. If we could only get these little phone boxes we've got in front of us to work, we'd be even better. But we're working on that, of course.
Yes.
I tried to call my Timu, tech support, but
Timu tech support. If you guys don't know, Timu is a Chinese competition to
Amazon.
And I'm okay if Amazon goes under; it wouldn't bother me in the least. They sell all the same stuff. Why? Why not
buy
cut out the middleman? Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Josh says, I might as well put this up here right away. We'll just start off. I checked out Mandan Sporting Goods this past week and really liked the new facility. Very nice in there. I wore my guns and a 701 hat in there so they know who sent me. Hey, we appreciate that, Josh. And, yeah, if you go to one of our sponsors, let them know where you heard it. Let them know how you got there and tell them thank you for supporting the Second Amendment and everything else. So we appreciate that. Waylon, good to see you tonight. So I do, like I said, I do believe that this this new time, 7 o'clock,
it's kind of nice. I kind of like it.
I think it works good in the summertime. With that, we should probably get started. What do you think?
Jamie's taking pictures of his TV. I figured.
I saw that. I just saw that. He sent that to us. You know, at least I know he's watching. You know, I had a couple guys call me right before the show, and I didn't answer. Sorry, guys. Thanks for watching, by the way. It's a little bit busy. So I'm going to get right into this. And
let's start it out.
This has more to do with what we all know when it comes to Democrats. And this study from Pew Research actually kind of tells us the story. And basically, it's what we've been saying, and it pretty much says it all. They did a research on the 24 election report and cultural issues. So as you and me both know, and most of our listeners, that guess what? The Biden supporters and the Trump supporters, what do you think? Do you think they're worlds apart?
Oh, just slightly.
Just a little bit. And I mean, this was Second Amendment-based for the most part, or gun-based. I wouldn't call it Second Amendment-based. They did 8,709 adults. That's what they went ahead and surveyed. 1,166 said that they were registered voters. I mean, some are, some are not. A lot of them were not, but you don't know. A lot of people lie on that too.
Yeah, some people just don't want to say.
They did this back in April, and they did it, and basically said that the political values of both President Joe Biden and President Donald Trump, and they grouped them together as culture war and woke issues. That was kind of the subject at hand that they were asking about.
Right.
And I like how, unsurprisingly, supporters of Biden and Trump view guns from nearly polar opposite perspectives. Do you think? I didn't have to do a survey to tell you that. I do like having the data to back it up. But, yeah, I mean, that's not surprising to you, I'm sure. Is it, Mike?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. We know that. And, it all depends, though, on we see these news outlets are always getting in there and they're skewing reports left and right. They're throwing in language that is slanted to one side. That always kind of presents it in the, it's like I always joke. It's like me and you always joke around and everybody else, too. It's like, every time they got a story about a guy they caught with an arsenal who's got 6 guns and over 500 bullets, and I'm like going, that's a weak numbers right there. So I mean,
better pump them numbers up.
Pump those numbers up. That's what I say.
And that's like I said, and I do have a chart up here. I guess I could put it up. I don't know how good it is. I was having a little trouble getting a clear one. What happened to my chart? There it is. Right here, Biden Trump voters have starkly different opinions about gun ownership and gun rights in the U.S. So. What they did was they asked all voters, and this was to protect the right of Americans to own guns, and the other side of that was control gun ownership. All voters, 51% say protect the right of Americans to own guns. 52% of everybody surveyed agreed that. So it's at least half, but it's way too low. Way too low. 47% control gun ownership. So when you look at that, Mike, to me, that number right there tells me a lot. It kind of shows exactly what we've been saying, that this is a 50-50 country anymore. Yeah,
it is. And
it shows up in just about everything. It doesn't matter what you ask them. But check out the Biden supporters. Protect the right of Americans to own guns. Think about this. Protect our right. This is something we already have outlined in the 27 words of the Second Amendment. 19% of Biden supporters, is it? 19% believe that we should have our right as Americans to own guns and protect that right. 80% want to control gun ownership. Now, Trump supporters, and it's just about pretty much polar opposite.
Absolutely.
85% of the Trump supporters say protect the right of Americans own guns, and 14 want to control gun ownership. Everybody, oh, 14% there. True. And I'm going to get to that here in a little bit as to what I think that number really kind of means, because I think there's more of a meaning when you look at Trump supporters and Biden supporters, because I think Biden supporters, in all my opinion anyway, Biden supporters are hardened Democrats and hardened liberal commie Democrats. I mean, they go a little bit to the left of the center, all the way down to the crazies, as far as I'm concerned. I think Trump supporters right now, I think it's even more so this year than it was in 16. They cross the gamut. I think you've got everything from a center left all the way down the spectrum across that middle line down to the very hard right. I really do believe that this year, and that's because of the economy, but we'll come back to that here in a little bit.
I saw a guy posted a thing on Reddit this week and said that he was hoping that that Biden would dump Kamala and put Hillary in there as his running mate. And I went, oh, well, that's one way to guarantee a loss for you. There you go. And really, that's why, you know, the loss came from him in 2016. There are so many people that went into the voting booth and could not hold their nose and pull that lever for her. I mean, it just couldn't be done.
Yeah, Hillary.
And the Dems, too. I mean, they just
Hillary's a no-go, and I do believe that they're seeing, as we all are, this is not – Biden has a problem mentally. He's not there. He has all the signs of dementia. My aunt just passed away from that. I know firsthand what dementia is. My grandmother had frontal dementia, seen it in our family. Trust me, this guy, he's not all there. He has days, but then he gets mad right away, and he's lost, and – it's not good. It's not good. And yet here they're gonna prop him up. And there's lots of opinion as to what's going to happen at their convention. And that's, I think, why their convention's later than it usually is. Yeah. That'll be an interesting convention. There's no doubt about it. So I'm going to get back to this real quickly. Because I want to go about these numbers and kind of talk about it. So when you look at gun ownership does more to, the question was, reduce safety by giving too many people access to firearms and increasing misuse, or it does more to increase safety by allowing law-abiding citizens to protect themselves. Well, again, all voters, that was all of them,
right?
45% say that it reduces safety, gives too many people access to firearms. 54%, so it's a little better than what we saw up above, right? About by 2 points or so. Increases safety by allowing law-abiding citizens to protect themselves. And then you look at the split between Biden supporters and Trump supporters. 76% of the Biden supporters, oh yeah, reduces safety, it gives too much access to firearms and increasing misuse. 23% say, I was actually shocked they even found 23% to say that it increases safety by allowing law-abiding citizens to protect themselves.
You've
in
got
a Biden supporting camp.
You got a rabid amount of people out there, and if you get a sample of them on any of these things, on these Pew researches and whatnot, I mean, they are rabid, and they live in a fantasy world too. They're also living up in ivory towers, protected by somebody with a gun.
Or
protected better in a neighborhood that has protection from people, and of course with guns. And so, it's just crazy. I mean, but. And it, more and more and more, you know, I see stories every single day coming out, bastardizing us on the right. You know, we joked about that story last week, the small penis thing, you know, or this or that. And I'm like, going, you know what? All these little petty things that don't do anybody any good. And all that stuff. I mean, I actually would be ashamed if I was. My job was to write crap like that and throw it out on a weekly basis, because that's all you're doing. And these are the same people screaming out that, you know, well, you know, there's no honesty on so-and-so's side of the argument. And I'm like going, come on, come on. I mean, it just goes without saying, like you said, 27 words enshrined in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights. And, you know, but that's, again, one of the problems we have, too, is that, you know, we've talked about people who don't even know that the Bill of Rights is the first 10 in the Constitution. It's not taught anymore. And that's the bad thing about schools. I mean, it's just things are not taught anymore. I mean, I remember that was hanging up on the wall in our schools. I mean, when I was a kid, and you know, you learned the first 10 and then you learned your multiplication tables and that was it. I mean, that was the way it was.
Bill of Rights was taught heavily when I was in school, in grade school, all the way up through and then when high school, of course I had a fantastic government teacher and the history teacher was good. He was boring, but our government teacher was great. And that was Mr. Bill Earhart, which is he's a member of my church. I get to see him just about every Sunday still, 93 or 94. So he's still here. And then, you know, he's doing good for his age. But that man, he's the one that basically taught and made sure that we all knew what our freedom was about. And at the time, you know, I liked it. I enjoyed that subject. A lot of people didn't. They thought it was irrelevant. But he didn't care. We had quizzes We had constitutional quizzes every week on the Constitution, the articles, the amendments, and you'd better know them by the end of the year because we had our final test on it. And let's just say I did very well. I did very well.
And if we don't believe you, we can ask you because
that's right. That's right. So, getting back to the survey, these numbers do not surprise me one single bit. You got Trump supporters at 13% say that that gun ownership reduces safety and 86% that it increases safety by allowing law-abiding citizens. And that actually correlates, if you've ever read John Lott Jr.'s book, More Guns, Less Crimes, it's the same information, and he has updated that from time to time, and it hasn't changed. So now, I like another deal here when it says that they're when the overreaching question of whether more guns are good or bad for society, 52%, I guess we just got that as well, 52% of the survey respondents thought it was bad. 22% agreed that it was good. Among the Biden supporters, 83% think guns are bad for society, and just 5% agreeing that guns are good. So only 5% of Biden supporters think that an increase in the number of guns in the United States is good for society. Now, neither good. I like how they broke some of this in and out here. Then you got Trump supporters that have a 21% think it's bad and 40% think it's good, with 38% saying neither bad nor good. Now, let's break that down. To me, that's an interesting number. I think that's where you're seeing them cross over to Trump supporters right now in this election, where they maybe voted for Biden last night. I mean, Trump's numbers have picked up amongst all the minorities, blacks, Hispanics, you name it. He's been growing, and he's probably going to, I don't know if he's going to win the total overall vote of those communities, but he's got a significant double-digit gain in them, which is key in winning in elections. And I think you're seeing those people cross over for a multitude of different reasons, economy being one of them, freedom. I've even seen some guys out there go, hey, man, that's my boy. He's a felon just like us. Now we're going to support him. And there are them guys. It's just like when you meet people that, I voted for her because she's hot. You know,
name oh, geez, candidate. Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
So low information voters, what we call them. But I think that's what you're seeing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when you put these numbers together, you know, if you noticed on that chart, there was ones that say neither bad nor good. Well, that's because those of us, I don't know about you, right there, 38% on Trump support. So you add those two numbers together, that's 78%. Mm-hmm. Either say it's neither, you know, they don't have an opinion on it, or they think it's good. And I believe that's because if you're like me, my guns are just sitting there, right? Mm-hmm. They're an object. They're a tool. They aren't bad. They aren't good. They're not violent. They're not non-violent. They're just a tool. They're a firearm. And the person
no different than a car,
no
different than a car, a truck, or anything else like that, you know, or you know, next thing you know, let's go after guys that have private airplanes. I mean, whatever can be used.
Absolutely.
It all started with a rock, and you know, it's gone up since then. But you know, we're not outlawing the rocks, and you know, then we went to hatchets, and then we went to everything else, you know, and we don't outlaw those. It's because, you know what, we're a modern society, and this is the guns. I wish I had mine behind me. you know, that is the great equalizer, that it means that I don't get washed away through a crime wave, through someone robbing my house, through someone attempting to kill my kids, my wife, my family. You know, I'm protected, and that's the way it's got to be.
Firearms are our absolute guaranteed right, that we at least have some means to change course if needed in this country. And that's why it was put there. Yes, we get to go shooting. I did some yesterday. I was checking out my new, range targets I put up. So the side effect, I guess, of the Second Amendment is that we get to use it for recreational shooting. But that was not the intent of the Second Amendment. No. The Second Amendment was meant to give us a means, that being arms, to take up arms and eliminate threats and tyrants if needed. That is why we have that right.
Well, I had a busy week this week, and I heard Biden talking on that. He was talking about the tears or the blood of tyrants and this and that. And
I heard him.
That had nothing to do with that. I'm like, going,
come on. And, really, you take Thomas Jefferson's words, because that's who said that, by the way.
Yeah. And he's going to go down as a little bit better president than you. Yeah.
Oh, and he didn't even get it correct.
No.
I mean, he couldn't even get it correct. And basically said that doesn't mean nothing. Come on. That is what it's about. And that is what Thomas Jefferson meant. And I guess I trust my founding father more than I do bumbling Biden. But so I'll tell you what, let's go through some of these comments. Hey, Jay Titan, good to see you. He's back in. He's been a long time. He says he's been busy, and I understand that 100%. He said, heck, kids can't even tell time anymore. They can't read the hour hand from the minute hand, can't write cursive, can't tell the difference between a
boy. It is National Clock Day, by the way. Or,
is it? Well, there you go. David Fetting, more guns means more fear of God. Or, as others may call it, in the F around and find out. And yes, and we know where that sign is sitting. It's the corner of F around and find out there at Axis Range. And everyone who's been there knows what I'm talking about. So, Lynette, she says, hey, Jay Titan can't write checks. Balance the checkbook. They don't know what a ledger is. That's right. They don't. They don't know any of these skills that you and I were taught, either by our parents, grandparents, or even in school we were. Eric, Democrats can't believe we want to support a felon, Trump, but they turn around and glorify George Floyd. Yeah, good point. They did. They even put him in a gold coffin. I mean, you remember that crap? Oh.
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, he shouldn't have been killed, but he also shouldn't have been glorified as an example. But ultimately, the cop that did that to him, I think, was wrong. And,
and I don't think he was murdered. I don't think he was killed. He had his drug when they took the blood tests and those finally came out. He was loaded with drugs. So I think it was a contributing factor because of the way he was arrested.
Right.
But who knows? He probably would have went into cardiac arrest no matter what, the way it sounded. But who knows? We don't know. But the other cops that did not even lay a hand on him and they were convicted, it was a bunch of BS.
Well, I mean, we disagree on a few things, and that's kind of one of my things. I don't want to glorify him as some sort of whatever, and they want to make him a saint and put murals up all over him. And on that, I'm like, well, no, that's nothing to show kids and people what to do.
Yeah, he was not a good example of society.
But I don't want
George Floyd was a thug and a thief and a criminal.
I don't want a little heart medicine that I've got to throw me off kilter one day and have a cop pull me over and decide that he wants to take my life. And so that's one of my things too. So, I mean, I'm kind of on that.
But his rap sheet showed, cocaine abuse. I mean, you name the drug, he'd done it.
But what about my rap album? If I pull that out.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, did he deserve to die in that way? No.
No.
I think it was, if at very best, it should have been probably a way low manslaughter charge, possibly. I mean, the bottom line is if he wouldn't have been doing what he was doing, he wouldn't have been in that situation to begin with.
Yeah, well.
And. He was a longtime criminal, but yeah, he was. I'm with you. He's not a guy to be glorified and paint murals to and give praises to. There's no doubt about that. The guy was not. He was not the example I want for my kids, anyway.
No.
So Josh, he's got Floyd died from the drugs he ate to get out of being right, and that was kind of proven. I know it didn't come out in the mainstream media. It did come out later in the actual autopsy report, though. Mike, you're fine. I don't see you resisting arrest. Lynette says you're good to go. You're good to go.
Too fat to resist arrest. And just roll me over, I guess.
But anyway, I'm not. I mean, I could go through a lot of this stuff. I mean, in this article, they also cite, what Biden has done. Biden, I don't think over his guy for 48 years, the guy's been an anti-gunner. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a surprise to anybody in this audience. He's demonized the industry forever. I mean, he did it when he took the debate stage, if you can call it that.
Late 70s, early 80s, yeah. He was anti-black. I mean, come on. I mean,
yeah.
Yes, he was. One thing you can claim is that he has been a lot of things in his life. Well, you know, and they're not all good.
And so, he's consistently been a liar, and we know that.
No, there you go.
But, I mean, look at what he's done here. I mean, he calls, you know, he called firearm manufacturers enemies. He nominated David Chipman. I remember that. He's a former gun control lobbyist as the director of the ATF. Senate, you know, finally knocked that out, but it didn't do much better. Yeah. Put former employee of every town wants gun confiscation, not gun safety, in the White House. He used the government to attack the firearm industry. He did the zero tolerance policies with the ATF. And that what that was about was to revoke FFLs. Comb through them and one, you know, stupid mistakes. And I think we've all probably done it once or twice on a form. It's human error, especially if you're using the paper ones. And then, boom, oh, we're going to take your FFL license away and your livelihood on top of it. Use the rulemaking process. Let's take a look at that. Now, all of a sudden, we all need FFL to do it. We're all engaged in the business of selling firearms. If we sell each other a gun, kiss my butt. You know, so when you look at that, we all kind of know Biden's history on that. Yeah. And I guess I'm going to leave it at that because I don't think we need to beat this horse anymore. He's an anti-gunner. Now we have the numbers to prove exactly what's going on. And if you look at a Biden supporter today, they're exactly what we said they would be. They're out there in far left field. They do not like guns. They don't understand the Constitution, so they don't like it. They think Biden is going to give them everything and anything and give them this utopian to them. And I can tell you right now, looking at this, if Biden would happen to win here in November, if they're able to steal the election somehow, it's full-on assault on the Second Amendment, especially if we don't retain one of the two chambers.
Yeah.
If they gain the Senate and they gain the House, we're toast. And what really scares me probably most about him getting another term is that he may see a possibility of another court appointment on the Supreme Court, or if they win both chambers, they're just going to go ahead and add to the court and then not even bother with anything else and really swamp it. So this election, just like the last time, back in 2016, it was about the Supreme Court, dummy. Well, you cannot lose the court right now.
I'm not a big fan of the filibuster and stuff like that, but who put it in?
You know? They put it in, and now they hate it.
Now they hate it, and now they're going to mess with the Supreme Court. And you know what they're going to say for now? That's great. And then down the road, they're going to hate it. And they just keep doing this stupid stuff, that nonstop tweaking that they do to governmental agencies that continually just end up screwing up the works down the road for everybody to have any kind of legislation go through. I mean, it's just 100% screwing with the works. Don't do drugs. Don't fight the cops when drugged up, and you'll be fine.
Right? There you go. And Jay-Z, he mentioned this, if Glory Hole Joe wins, this country will be a mess. This is no joke. America will be attacked. I don't – yes, if he wins, it's bad days ahead. Bad days ahead. It's not going to be good. Things are going to be really tough. America, you and I all grew up in, it's gone. Yeah. Okay. And you're probably right. We will be attacked. And who knows where I think right now where I live, I'm probably in the safest place in the world, which no place will be safe. But I have the best chance in this area that we can make it through. I don't know what it'll look like on the other side of it, but it definitely it's going to.
And once again, it shows the importance of small elections like your sheriffs and more for your counties mean so much, because those are the people that are going to be saying yes or no to the feds coming in and running roughshod over everybody. And I think because they're scared of the West, of the Midwest here. I consider it the Plain States. I mean, they are.
That's why they don't come out here much either.
You know, but I also, and I say this, is that, you know, people say, well, you know, the military's, you know, that was the other thing Joe had said, you know, we've got the military, they're not going to go again. And it says, you know, yeah, we got a lot of people in the military that aren't going to follow those unconstitutional laws. But the problem is, where are their families? They're on bases. And you know what? When you have control of people's families, that tends to be, how it's going to turn. But hey, we better take a commercial break
here. Yes, I was just going to say that. We want to thank some sponsors here. You got one ready to queue up and go?
We got a double one to do to start off with. So, yeah, so we'll go ahead and kick that off. Be right back after this on GunsInThe701.com.
Commissioner, I'm from the Athlete's Foot Foundation. Brother, hey, can you get my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a concept. Constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
All right, we're back, and thanks again to our great sponsors. We can't do it without them, and we're doing good, I think. We're rolling right along. You know, speaking of Bloodline, I said I had him do a rifle for me while I was up there, and man, do I love that. It's my favorite, my 270, and I can shoot it suppressed now, so I like that.
There you go. So you know, I've got a couple of revolvers that I really want them to – I like to have the chambers Cerakote it and change the color on and everything. They give it a different look because, you know, they're just plain Janes. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's cool to have that option and you know, make your stuff a little pride in your stuff when you want to pass it down to your kids. That's right, Biden. I said pass it down to my kids.
So. Yeah, that's crazy talk, isn't it? So I'll tell you what, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you, and you just kind of, you sent me this one. You want to take this, like how the government investigated the government and found themselves not liable, basically.
Oh, well, you know, that's always good when you let the fox investigate himself inside the chicken coop. But, yeah, local prosecutors in Little Rock, Arkansas, have concluded that agents with the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, the ATF, used appropriate lethal force when they shot and killed an airport executive, Brian Malawanski, on March 19th. We've talked about this a bunch. Now, the 6th Judicial District received an investigation to review the file from the Arkansas State Police. That's right. They investigated themselves revolving the official or officers involved shooting incident that occurred. Now, if you didn't remember this story, at 6 a.m. in the morning, they did a no-knock raid on his house. Now, if that happened to you, if it happened to any of us, well, we're going to defend ourselves because we don't have the slightest clue what's going on with the situation. We're not just going to lay down and whoever's coming in the house trying to come and kill us. No, we have our arms. We're going to protect ourselves. Now, he didn't know it was the police. They didn't announce themselves. They didn't say we're the police. They just came running through his door Of course, he did take a shot at one of them, and then, of course, they put him down with a shot to the head because, remember, dead men can't testify.
That's right.
And of course, the U.S. Department of Justice indicated agents and officers involved in the raid weren't wearing any body cameras, even though that is now the law for police and for special federal agents. They just happened to not be wearing any. Anybody was. Nobody was wearing any. Yeah, mobile video recorders presented at the capture summit. Of course, the Jones provided the following new timelines based on the recordings. Of course, Little Rock raided his house. They went in without announcing. Agents began a series of presence there. Of course, agents used a ram to breach the door. You know, and Mr. Malalinsky, you know, he fired his first shot at his Colt Defender 45. And of course, the ATF's return fire and shot him dead with an M4. Yeah, that's why I want an M4. I'd rather have that personally. But yeah, so it goes right back down to it is that they investigated themselves. Now, they wonder why people don't have a huge, I guess you would say, confidence in the ATF and other federal agencies to do the right thing. Because you are just basically saying, oh, we're going to investigate this. Hold on a second. All right, well, we investigated this and it turned out all right. No, that's not how it works. And for you to sit there and think, well, we did investigate. We put out the report. I don't know why you guys are so upset. We're upset because you killed an American citizen with a no-knock raid for a bullshit reason to boot. And now, like I said, there ain't nobody to testify against you because you killed him. Now, if you came into my house, if you came into anybody else's house that's a gun owner in this in thing, and they didn't know you were cops, they just thought you were somebody breaking in, well, yeah. And you know what?
Right.
Look behind Clay right now. The first thing that, you know, somebody might be thinking is that, oh, I'm going to go rob Clay. Well, that would be the stupidest mistake you've ever made in your life because, one, you think that's it. But, you know, the point is that he is a gun owner and, you know, he thought somebody was breaking in to take out him and his family. So what did he do? He defended himself. Well, he's dead now and he's got nobody to defend him. You know, this is one of those ACLU cases that, you know, I wish they'd pick up instead of some of the bullshit stuff they do. But you know, it's just a nonstop, you know, joke. And Arkansas State Police and the ATF, you know, every one of those guys there, of course, should be far from the ATF jobs now. The family of Malawinski's family's questions and concerns, the raids are far from over, despite the conclusion that the ATF agent used deadly force appropriately. Yeah, he used it appropriately.
Appropriately.
No cameras. So, you know what?
Yeah, let's get to some of these comments. Oh, well, this is the wrong one. This had
go ahead.
Eric just says, hey, I wish Axe was down here to work on my van. Dang, bolt snapped off and stuck. So I can't get my water pump on yet. So I didn't realize. That didn't have nothing to do with the story, but yes, Axe can help you out. Jay says that they weren't wearing cameras because they didn't have the funds. Oh, really?
No, there's a whole thing out there right now. Now, I showed you a picture, I think, last week, the week before, of that $200,000 armored vehicle on jacked up wheels down in Texas. You know what? There's money out there, out the whizzang, that you can get for anything that you want as a police officer. And you want to tell me that the ATF has a budgeting problem?
Yeah. The idea of these cops and sheriff's departments having MRAPs pisses me off. They have no reason to have that kind of equipment, you know, the military equipment. They want to say that we don't have any reason to have military-style weapons. Well, the cops have no reason to have that kind of machinery. And those are true military weapons.
Yeah.
I got a real problem with that. But David says we all need a Bob. And Jay says, well, Clay is the definition of a true American badass. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know about that, but I imagine if I was pushed in the wrong direction, it wouldn't be a good day. You know, I will defend myself. That's all I can say.
I'm sorry, but, you know, dead men can't tell stories about themselves. And you know.
No witnesses, right? No witnesses.
No witnesses. So, you know, the story can be anything you want it to be because there's no witnesses.
Yeah. And like I said, we've touched on this story before. There was no reason to do what they did to this gentleman. None whatsoever. And you know what? If he did have a gun, when you walk into my house like that, I'm going to probably have a gun too. So, you know, are they justified in taking me out because I'm defending my property after they came into my house unlawfully, as far as I'm concerned? I mean, 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, began a series of knocking and announcing. Yeah.
Are they going to hear it? You know, are they trained to de-escalate? Because apparently they're not. You know, are they trained for this type of stuff? And that's the other side you want to look at it too. It's like, you know what? Once again, you got these hotshot ATF guys that are just basically running roughshod and can do anything to anyone in any jurisdiction.
I truly believe the ATF is they got a serious problem. They're out of control right now. They know they don't answer to nobody. They don't answer to Biden. They really don't. No. And a guy in charge of the ATF is no good. I mean, he can't even identify what a Glock and what Glock does and how you take one apart. And he's the head of the ATF. I mean,
he's still using clip instead of magazine and magazine instead of clip. Yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, the guy knows nothing probably about guns the way it looks to me. Very little.
You know what? He's a lot like a people we know a lot of that failed up. He failed up to the top job. So there you go.
Yep. Well, that's what they do best in government. Fail up. No one gets fired. They get promoted. But that's the kind of people Biden wants in those positions. It truly is. Because they're not there about being the ATF anymore, handling what they have done in the previous, the previous decades, really. I don't think I've ever seen it this bad. No, they've been given their marching orders, and it's to make sure that they can hinder, infringe, and take away as many guns, gun licensees, whatever they can do to destroy the Second Amendment. That's what their goal is. And if that means going in on no-knock raids and killing people, I don't think a lot of them have a problem with it.
You know, and some people say it was a little yeah, sell it too. The
the ATF had Beetle Bailey.
ATF is a lot of members that are come out of the FBI and other higher up organizations like that. And, you know, if you want to really have, you know, we should start another show besides Badass, Dumbass of the week, because I could spend all day just telling stories about how many screwed up things the FBI has done and blown cases over the years and killed people for just no reasons, just because they're like, well, we're the FBI. We know better. And, you know, and but no proof, no anything. But, you know, once again, it's like, you know, for thee, but, you know, laws for thee, but not for me, you know, that type of stuff. And it just goes on and on. And we
lose for thee, not for thou. And if and when they lose, they change the rules. I mean, it's that simple. Well, yeah. So, yeah, I guess to me, I think we've covered it. Unless you got something. The ATF, I think, has got a lot of problems. And it's
This is going to become one more story that is just something we kind of remember of the ATF killing people and
a lot of America, they don't even, they're done. They've already forgotten about it.
Yeah, they've already forgotten about it. What's his name that used to be the attorney general under Obama? Eric Holder. And his thing with the guns over the border, you know, should that have been forgotten? Should that guy failed up to bigger jobs down the road? No. He should be making – he changes jobs every year and a half to these other organizations that keep hiring him as a consultant or a lead, you know. Right. And what has he ever shown that he's done other than fail his way up and destroy our laws? Now, he's supposedly a lawyer, but you know what? Last time I checked, you shouldn't be a lawyer if your main thing you're known for is breaking the law across our border. So tell me why that makes any sense.
Well, I agree. We get to a few of these comments, and this goes back a little ways. It says, Clay, the guns and military vehicles Biden donated to the Taliban for peace. All they did was fuel their fire to reign supreme on America. Afghanistan has and always will be a war zone. Absolutely. They've been in continual war. I mean, they were fighting the Russians, so we tried to help them out then, and Russians finally pulled out because Afghanistan has been in a perpetual war. That's just the way it is. Yeah, and leaving our stuff there, bad move.
Oh, they're not going to be able to know how to fix all that. That's what they thought. Yeah. And now they've got planes. Now they've actually got working planes. The Chinese and the Russians have given them parts. Probably sold by our American companies through shadow things.
Yeah.
And making money hand over foot on us. And yeah, they've got them flying now. So I'm like going, you know, the Taliban has planes, you know, and we gave them to them. And,
yes,
and
we did.
Why didn't we, you know, why one did we leave like we did? Why two didn't we take all the shit with us?
Or blow it up before we left.
Or blow it. I mean, hell, you know
because
what?
Because it was
sorry.
Intentional. It
we
was
could
intentional.
Have put it all in one place and just made a crater there.
Yeah.
A good 2 mile yep. crater. Just let
Brian
it all
says,
be gone.
And I kind of agree with what Brian says. Just, I think the bad days are coming either way. We just need to focus on the people we want and on the front lines of defending against it. That means from small to tall, we need to watch every election. True. And kind of go back to what Mike was talking about. We need to make sure that we've got the right people, their sheriffs, our local people, everything on the way up. It's absolutely imperative who we put out there because they're going to be the people to defend us. It absolutely did. Okay, Jamie just says, I see it did go live last week for 701 Nation, talking about Twitter. I have no clue. I just I went in there to try to log into my account, and guess what? I can't log into my account for some reason. It says I have the wrong password. So I don't. You probably saw some of this too, Mike. I know Jamie did. We got hit with some spam here a while ago, and I wonder if that ain't or wasn't spam. I think we got hacked. So
well,
we're trying to sort through that, and that could be a lot of the problems. It really could be. Oh, let's see. We've ATF. David's got one up here. The things most Americans forgot, the Vegas shooting. Just think if he'd had a silencer, Hillary. And I'm going to touch on that. So that's a good lead-in because guess what? We all remember what happened in the Vegas shooting. That happened in, 2017 of October at that country fest thing?
Yeah.
Supposedly this guy used all these bump stocks. I don't know if they were. We never really... We heard the shots. I heard them because I flipped on right away. I was watching something else, and I'm like, oh, check this out. And you could hear it. Were they bump stocks? I don't know. All I can tell you is I've shot a bump stock, and they're not that reliable. Okay? So we saw the pictures of them, but were they used? I don't believe it. I think and it all went away. I mean, do you remember that, Mike?
Oh, no. It's
poof. It went away. And it's like, wait a second here. You know, and we've really heard nothing since. Well, now bump stocks, which they should have never been banned, finally made it to the Supreme Court. I knew one of these would finally get up there and the court would hear it, and they did. And the Supreme Court has now overturned the bump stock ban. This happened last week. So it was a good week for freedom. Of course, people were complaining about that the justices interpreted the Second Amendment in a way that rules out perfectly reasonable gun regulations. Here was the problem with this whole thing. And I remember Jamie and I talking about this when that happened. I mean, this was before we had the show. You and I had talked about this. I know when all that happened, we were still doing NRA stuff and talking a little bit about it. But the bump stock is a piece of plastic, just as bad as a pistol brace. It's not anything bad. It allowed you to bump fire the firearm, which you could do with your finger and a rubber band on a belt loop. Seriously. It's very easily achieved. It did not turn the gun into a machine gun, therefore making it a regulated item under the National Firearms Act of 1934. They are not machine guns because you still, even though you're doing it rapidly with assist, you still had to pull the trigger. You had to have one trigger action, mechanical action, for every round fired. Right. It just did it fast. And, you know, and I laugh at some of the comments I've seen about some of this. Of course, I've never thought that people over at PMSNBC were smart. But Joyce Vance says, does the history and tradition, and that's a jab at the Bruin decision, of our country really suggest that the Founding Fathers meant for the Second Amendment to arm all Americans with guns that fire 400 to 800 rounds per minute? Yes. Yes, it did. I should have everything the military has, and I've always said that. I've said that before on this show, because the Second Amendment is about defending us, we the people, from all enemies, foreign, domestic, it doesn't matter, tyrants, government if need be, or change course. So, yes, we are supposed to have that stuff. And our founding fathers wrote that knowing it. And there's plenty of things when they were discussing this to back that up. Plenty of the writings done by Jefferson, especially Adams, a bunch of them. It don't matter. You can go look at these and it'll show that the intent of the Second Amendment is what I say it is. And that was for us to have a means of protection against the government. And that is absolutely correct. So the bump stock was overturned. Chris Murphy, he didn't like it either. You guys know who's Mr. Senator Chris Murphy. I've seen him all over freaking news.
He's always sticking his face on TV.
Yeah, he's a commie from Connecticut. And he goes,
you're right.
I love this. He says, they fundamentally rewrite the Second Amendment, the Supreme Court, which will make it now very hard for Congress or state legislators to be able to regulate guns.
Good.
That's the intent. I want them hard for government to regulate. But let's not forget that states have more power than the feds. That's how things are written. Okay. So they actually could do a little bit more if they wanted to. But many states, such as North and South Dakota, both have it in their state constitution. Even a better version of the Second Amendment, as far as I'm concerned, in North Dakota. So there is that. And it's funny because Murphy, he's a lawyer. He's a lawyer. You should know better. But he's also an ideologist, and that's the problem. They did. They overturned it. They basically beat down the ATF. So ATF took a loss. Biden took a loss because the ATF targeted bump stocks and said they're designed to assist bump firing, which involves pushing a rifle forward to activate the trigger by bumping it against the stationary finger, allowing recoil energy to push the rifle backward, resetting the trigger. As long as the shooter maintains the requisite amount of forward pressure, it keeps her finger in place, the rifle will fire repetitively. The interpretive rule of this issue is what was the case was all about, everybody, and it was. It was published in 2018. It took effect 3 months later, banned stock replacements that facilitate the rapid firing technique by allowing the rifle's receiver to slide back and forth. The ATF did this by classifying rifles equipped with bump stocks as machine guns. And they did. That was in the rule, which contradicted the statutory definition of the agency's long-time standing interpretation of it, which was correct. So, if you didn't catch all that, essentially ATF said in 2018, nope, if you can use this to do rapid fire, now it's illegal and it should be regulated under as a machine gun. So, I mean, Jerry, I can't remember his last name. It's slipping my mind. The guy who shoots his pistols really fast.
Right.
That's rapid fire, and they're revolvers. Think about that. Is that a machine gun now? It would have been under this. It could have been. Could have been taken that way. Under federal law, a machine gun, this is the definition, is a weapon that automatically fires more than one round by a single function trigger, pulling your trigger and letting it shoot. A lot of guns do a three-shot burst, especially our M16As and things like that. And that I'm not going to go into why they went to that, but I can tell you after shooting class three weapons, I can see why you'd want to do a three-shot burst and not run through a full mag.
Mm-hmm.
And a bump fire rifle plainly does not fit the definition because it shoots one round each time the trigger is activated, and given the manual effort necessary to fire additional rounds, does not fire automatically. And that was basically the ruling. And then they said when the Vegas thing happened, that's when people got in an uproar. They even started talking about binary triggers. Josh, thank you. Mick Lick. Yep. I couldn't remember that. I knew it. It was at the top of my tongue. I just couldn't remember it. But yeah. Yeah, he is faster than a semi-auto rifle. He is. Guys, watch some of his videos. You're going to love him.
Well, we all grew up on the rifle, man. We knew all that. I mean, but, you know.
And even Dianne Feinstein. Stein. I got that wrong. She's dead now. She's rotting in hell. But anyway, this was a quote from her after that happened in Vegas. The ATF lacks authority under the law to ban bump fire stocks. And she said the only answer is legislation, noting that the law has not changed, and warned that the gun lobby would have a field day with the ATF about face, which relied partially on a dubious analyst claiming that the bumping the trigger is not the same as pulling it. She understood it. She knew it. And here we are. Now we have a Supreme Court ruling. Now we have a precedent from the highest court. So I'm okay with that. And Samuel Alito, He says the statutory text is clear and we must follow it, as he wrote in the concurring opinion. An event that highlights the need to amend the law does not itself change the law's meaning. But now the situation is clear, he added. Congress can act if they'd like, is what basically said. If they want to try and do it, which right now they know, you and I both know they can't get that through Congress.
Right.
Even with the soft Republicans that we have in the House, I don't think they can get it through. And I don't think they can get the 60-vote threshold in the Senate right now. So you will not probably see this happening unless they all win in November. Then watch out. But
let me tell you
to the Supreme Court for once again affirming and upholding the Second Amendment. It goes on Bruin. Everything goes to Bruin. It went to Heller, then Bruin. Bruin was a key fundamental case. It was as big as Roe versus Wade back in the day. And Bruin is going to have an effect for decades. For decades, and it will help reverse a lot of this crap. So,
now, Justice Sotomayor, you know, this is one of my problems that I've got. We've got justice on there. Now, I'm besides being the lefty, she never really said anything that's really pushed at my buttons or anything like that. Except for now, she's out there doing these speaking tours, talking about how she cries at night because she sees it the way that the Supreme Court is, and I'm like going, I don't want you on the left or right. To bring the feelings into this. If your are hurt, tough.
Too bad.
Your job. I go to work, you know what? And some days I'm having a horrible day. I work on radio and I'm having a horrible day. And what do? I get on and I'm a happy guy.
Yep. You do what you need to do, right?
Yep.
You know that with events.
Does it, when you go and do stuff with your kids and do stuff with your wife and all that, do you carry all that bullshit with you out there? No, because it doesn't do any good to show that to them. Just, you know what? Put it behind you and get moving. Whole emotion stuff.
Well, and I am so sick and tired of the left and even people on our side. Well, and it don't matter. Pick your law that you don't like or it's unconstitutional. Well, they'll have to go to the Supreme Court so they can interpretate it. No, they do not interpretate the Constitution. They interpretate the law according to the Constitution, not interpretate the Constitution according to the law. You can't change the Constitution from the bench to fit a law that's against the Constitution, and that's what the left likes to do.
Yeah.
So they're mad because we finally got a court that has now, and they haven't gotten them all right. They're still making issues on some things, but for the most part on the gun stuff, they're getting it right. And they're interpreting the laws being passed or the regulations that aren't even passed by Congress is unconstitutional because that is their job. They look at it and they go, wait a second. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say the ATF can do this. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that you can ban guns, XYZ, pick your town issue, whatever. And as these courts come, these court cases work their way up now through the channels, and I noticed a lot of them have been withdrawn. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Because they're being overturned. And if they make it to the Supreme Court, they're going to refer to Bruin, and boom, it's going to be thrown out or overturned. And they're nothing more a judge hates than being overturned. There's no doubt about that. Oh, let's see here. Let's see what this one was here. There's a rumor that the people voting for Biden were promised they'd get a private screening of Stacey Abrams twerking in a thong sponsored by Bud Light. That's what happens when I just throw one up there and
I was going to go. Is that pay-per-view or what?
My goodness. Well, there's a gap big enough through her teeth to drive a truck. So who knows what could happen with that. But anyway, so we're coming up on the top of the hour, Mike. Let's go ahead and do all our sponsors.
Yep.
We got them loaded up or not?
We got them loaded up.
All right. Let's go thank some sponsors and pay some bills, and we'll be right back afterwards with that.
Commissioner. I'm from the Athlete's Foot Bandit.
Brother. Hey, can you get my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake.
Make no no mistake.
Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy. Kinetics. To some, it's just a constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
Ever tried catching a fish with your bare hands or hunting a deer with a stick? Don't be that guy. At Mandan Sporting Goods, we've got all the hunting and camping gear you need. We're your one-stop shop for outdoor adventure.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Check us out at mandansportinggoods.com or, better yet, stop in to 210 East Main Street, Mandan, North Dakota. Mandan Sporting Goods, where the outdoors meets functionality. Store hours, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Closed Sunday. Take up arms at Mandan Sporting Goods. Your adventure starts here.
And we are back, and we don't have a commercial quite yet for our brand new sponsor, but John Rogow, he's the owner of Little Angry Man Arms, LLC, and you can find them at littleangrymanarms.com, or you can contact them at 605-850-4479. Again, 605-850-4479, and they are located in Trail City, South Dakota, at 26120 128th Street. So check out Little Angry Man Arms and talk to John. Again, their phone number is 605-850-4479. All right. Yeah, so we're back.
We got the audio for him. We just haven't got a chance to put his commercial together yet.
No, we haven't.
Life gets in the way when you're haying and everything else. Yeah, I know.
I did actually start on it. I pulled some pictures off of his Facebook page so we can at least get something put together. But, yeah, well, hopefully by next week. I got to figure out this Facebook thing, though. I mean, yeah. I know we got a lot of people that view us there, so we will work on that as well. It's just, I don't know what the hell's
wrong. Hey, by the way, I got to throw out a birthday wish, happy birthday to your boy. Layton? Was it Layton?
Layton, yep. His birthday was actually on the 17th, but we celebrated last weekend with a bunch of family and friends here at the place. So, yeah, we had a lot of fun. And, yeah, 15 years old. Yeah,
I got some good footage of him out at our Second Amendment days. And I'll tell you what, you can tell that you have taught him form in shooting. He is good with that. So, yeah, he is pretty impressive.
And he loves shooting that. I think I lost that Kel-Tec. I'm pretty sure he thinks that. I know that that's his gun. So. Yeah. If I want to shoot when I'm pregnant, I have to get myself another one. But loves that.
Darn.
Another reason to buy a gun, right? So before we go in, I'm going to go. Well, you take this next one, right? But this is with Biden's executive order, unless you want to try something else.
Oh, well, no. We had the thing he was passing last week with all the election stuff he was doing for illegals out of the border. That was basically nothing but smoke and mirrors.
Right.
And now he is doing a new thing. Through executive action, he's shielding an estimated 550,000 people from deportation. Now, excuse me, but if you were keeping 550,000 people from coming into the country every week or whatever it is, you know, then I'd be like, all right, good job, way to go.
No.
But you're shielding them. You're taking a page out of the Obama playbook on this one, of course, and doing the same immigration policy. This major new initiative shielding tens of thousands of undocumented or illegal immigrants residing in the United States for deportation, and the amount of one of the most sweeping immigration measures of his tenure in office. And I got a feeling it ain't gonna stop.
What probably pisses me off most when I hear this stuff is they call it immigration. No, immigration is legal. People it's come here, they go through the process.
Fill out
the forms,
you do what you got to do, and you do your time doing the proper things to get everything done.
And not just that. I know a lot of immigrants. I really do. They love the country. They come here to become and assimilate into America. These people don't. These people come here to completely, basically, trash and ravage our entire system and take advantage of it. They're not here because they love this country. They just want stuff, or they want to, look at the murders and the crimes that's going up. I mean, that's every day there's something new in the news. But, yeah. And this here, I guess this is for spouses, from what I understand.
Right.
Well, why do we have that many in here anyway? That just boggles my mind, because I know there's a roadmap there for you. If you marry somebody from out of the country, there is a pathway for them to become citizens. So why are they illegal? They just didn't bother and didn't care?
It's a new program is known as Parole in Place.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Now, the thing about me is if your program actually has that parole in place, that means that you are doing a crime. Isn't that what that means?
That's what I would call it.
So it's the same immigration policy that's been used for qualifying military families since 2007, because guys go over and girls go over and they end up getting married and then they bring them back. And you know what? That's fine. It's been happening since day one in our country. But you know what? Those people did what they're supposed to do, filled out the paperwork, jumped through the hoops and did everything.
Yes,
we're talking about people that aren't doing that. And that now they're basically getting deferred action. So it's just a ridiculous thing. And once again, of course, it is an election year. So, of course, it's just like the DACA, the DACA roadmap back in 2012. And, of course, you're talking about voters got to see through this crap. I mean, this is you talk about, what is it called? Going for the votes. And I'm like going, that's all it is. It's just for votes.
And by doing this, if you read through it, it's also going to allow them to be eligible for work visas rather than a temporary work authorization. It applies to all these recipients, and others who have earned their college degree or higher in the U.S. and who have received a job offer from a U.S. employer. So, again, disregard for the law.
Yeah.
And who's sneaking through on this? That's probably a terrorist. Bad guy, not gang members. Who knows? We have no clue.
Just remember that talk to any military guys, and I'm sure they'll say the very best of the terrorists, the ones that built bombs, the ones that had all that stuff, we trained here in our country in our schools. We taught them, the chemistry and what they needed to know, because they came here because that's who taught them best.
Absolutely.
And it just drives crazy.
Well, and the biggest problem we have with illegals is we don't know who they are. They haven't been vetted. They're not vetting them much anymore. They just come across. And going back to what Brian had talked about, we could be attacked. Well, yes, they're here. They're here. They've set up camp. They're here. And we don't know where they're at. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they have. I guarantee you they're not here for fun. And that's where I think the imminent attack would come in. And, Brian chimed in here. He goes, many illegals were turned away from Ellis Island because they were deemed unfit to become, many legal immigrants were turned away from Ellis Island because they were deemed unfit to become Americans. Absolutely. In fact, they were checked for diseases.
We don't really check that. We don't do that anymore. I mean, we don't talk about Ellis Island and all the people that were put back on boats and sent back.
Oh, my goodness. They would turn a lot of people. You also, there was one era where you had to show some sort of skill.
Yeah.
Or you weren't allowed to come in. And rightfully so. We didn't want freeloaders coming in here or diseases coming in here. Now, we have absolutely zero obligation to anybody that does not live in this country. So if you come here, I don't care who you are. you do not have a right to become a citizen of this country. You can apply. You can go through the steps. You do not have a right to be a citizen in the United States from another country. You just don't.
You know, when I traveled through Mexico and then down into Guatemala and the hellhole that that is, and then down all the way to Panama, and that's what I did in my early 20s. And you know what? They don't give us. You think that, you know, you should just be able to walk across that border, and everything is sunshine and rainbows. Let me tell you about. They do not treat you like that down there. And no, not at all. They don't want you down there, but you know, that's fine. You want them up here.
I mean, in Mexico, I don't know if anybody's aware of this. Even if you go down there legally, you know, and you're accepted, you can live in the country. Right. Did you know you cannot own property?
Nope.
You never can own property if you're not a natural born citizen of Mexico. And they won't change that. They haven't changed it for decades. They're not going to change it now. So you are kind of treated as a second-rate citizen. You can be down there. But if you are not a natural-born citizen, you're not allowed to own property. Why do you think that is?
Let me go ahead and say this. I got to find out the books I read when I was younger. But there was a certain point where Mexico was talking to the not allies. They were talking to the Axis powers of Germany and all that about joining up with them and attacking us from the south.
They're not our friends. They're not our friends. They wanted their land back. I mean, they wanted Texas, New Mexico. They wanted that whole southern and southwest area because, well, they did have claim to it at one time. Too bad. You lost.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, I remember this T-shirt. And, you know, as much as anybody wants to say about, you know, stolen land, this and that, I saw a T-shirt once that said, you know.
Over it.
Well, no, it was... should have fought harder, you pussies. That was basically what it came to. You know what? You lost. And
land has changed hands for
so many times
since the beginning of time, essentially, from warring people. The winner takes it, and to the winner goes the spoils. That's just the way it is. And it's no different than, you know, the Spanish-American Wars. Every war that's been ever fought over land. It's going to continue. It's still continuing today. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my problem is with illegals, and this is just another step in it. A, it's going to change the elections.
Yeah.
And it's going to not be good for us. And it's going to put Democrats in the offices, which will be bad for the Second Amendment. Two, we don't know who's over here with illegals. And they're going to be bad for us because they don't follow any law. They probably have guns. And they're going to be the people that attack us, and they are attacking us right now.
And what happens to people that like we've had this happen in North Dakota and South Dakota quite a bit? People driving without license end up killing kids or family or this or that. We've had it happen in Aberdeen. We had it happen in Sioux Falls.
Everywhere.
It happens everywhere. And what happens to those people once they're done with it? They get deported back.
Yeah, I mean they don't care, and that's what that. That's why I put that comment back up here. Jay puts up there. Another thing I'm absolutely sick of is people come here illegally. They want you to learn their language. Yeah, I love that one. Feel entitled to drive without a license and insurance and get all the free money from the government. Absolutely. And there's no such thing as free stuff from the government either. It all come from me or you or anybody that pays taxes. It was confiscated from us. So now they're giving it to other people. And that's just redistribution of wealth, essentially. But all right, well, I'll tell you what, I think this is a great time. Let's just do a double ad. We're about a quarter after. Come back then and do Badass of the Week and wrap the show for the week.
We got another badass coming up for you right here on GunsInThe701.com.
I'm from the Athlete's Foot Bandit.
Brother, hey, can you give my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair. located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a constant constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
All right, we are back again in about a quarter after here. So tell you what, Mike, why don't you introduce the badass of the week and let's give some entertainment to the folks.
Well, once again, we've got another badass of the week for you. This one's going back to World War One. We're going to talk about a guy named Henry. Henry is truly a badass and got the short end of the stick like many soldiers in the past have. And, of course, we're going to let the badass of the week talk for itself. And a big reminder for everybody before we go, remember, we're still looking for a sponsor for badass of the week as well. And of course, you can always get in contact with us. If you know Clay or me, you can do that, or go to guns@gunsinthe701.com. You can contact Jamie as well. We're going to do our badass of the week right now. It's about 10 minutes long and we'll get her done. How about that? Do it.
Welcome to GunsInThe701.com's Badass of the Week. This week, we're going back to World War One. You remember the war to end all wars? Yeah, that didn't work out too well. William Henry Johnson stated that he was born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina on July 5th of 1892. Now, he moved to Albany, New York when he was in his early teens and worked various jobs, such as a chauffeur, a soda mixer, and as a red cap porter at the Albany Union Station on Broadway. Henry Johnson enlisted in the United States Armed Forces on July 5th, 1917, as a 5'4" young man. This was almost 2 months after the American entry into World War I. And joining the all-black New York National Guard 15th Infantry Regiment, which, when mustered into federal service, was redesignated as the 369th Infantry Regiment, and he was then based in Harlem. The 369th was an all-black unit under the command of mostly white officers, including their commander, Colonel William Hayward. The idea of a black New York National Guard regiment had first been put forward by Charles W. Fillmore, Governor Charles Seymour Whitman, inspired by the brave showing of the Black 10th Cavalry in Mexico at the turn of the century. Now, they authorized the project. He appointed Colonel Hayward to carry out the task of organizing the unit, and Hayward gave Fillmore a commission as captain in the 15th Infantry Regiment, New York National Guard. The 369th got off to a rocky departure from the United States, making three attempts over a period of months to sail for France before finally getting out of sight of land. Even then, their transport, which had stopped and anchored before it could get out of the harbor due to a sudden snowstorm, was then struck by another ship due to poor visibility. The captain of the transport, the SS Pocahontas, wanted to turn back, much to the dismay of his passengers. The by now angry and impatient members of the 369th, led by Colonel William Hayward, took a very dim view of any further delays. Now, since damage to the ship was well above the waterline, the ship's captain admitted there was no danger of sinking. Hayward then informed the captain that he saw no reason to turn back, well, aside from cowardice. Hayward's men repaired the damage themselves, and the ship then sailed on. According to Hayward's notes, they landed at Brest in France, right side up, on December 27, 1917. They finally disembarked from the ship, though it would be many months before they were to see actual combat. The 369th Infantry joined the 185th Infantry Brigade upon arrival in France, but was relegated to labor service duties instead of combat training. The 185th Infantry Brigade was in turn assigned on January 5th, 1918, to the 93rd Infantry Division. Now, although General J. Pershing, Commander-in-Chief of the American Expeditionary Forces, or the AEF, on the Western Front, wished to keep the American forces autonomous, he loaned, in quotations, the 369th to the 161st Division of the French Army. Supposedly, the unreported and unofficial reason he was willing to detach the African-American regiment from the U.S. command was that vocal white U.S. soldiers refused to fight alongside black troops. These black regiments suffered considerable harassment by the white soldiers and even denigration by the AEF headquarters, which went so far as to release the notorious pamphlet Secret Information Concerning Black American Troops, which warned the French civilian authorities of the alleged inferior nature and supposed tendencies of the African American troops. Yeah, Jim Crow reached far beyond the borders of America. Now, the French Army needed men and welcomed the reinforcements. The 369th Infantry Regiment was later nicknamed the Harlem Hellfighters. The French Army assigned Johnson's regiment to Outpost 20 on the edge of the Aragon Forest in the Champagne region. I know that's not how it's pronounced. It's a French thing, but hey, I'm not French. Now, they equipped them with French rifles and helmets. Now, while on observation post duty, on the night of May 14, 1918, Johnson came under attack by a large German raiding party, which may have numbered up to 36 soldiers. Fearing for the life of his sleeping comrades and using grenades, the butt of his rifle, a bolo knife, and his bare fists, Johnson repelled the Germans, killing four while wounding others, and rescuing Needham Roberts of Trenton, New Jersey, from capture and saving the lives of his fellow soldiers. Johnson ended up suffering 21 wounds during the ordeal. This act of valor earned him the nickname, from the French, of the Black Death, a sign of respect for his prowess in combat. The story of Johnson's exploits first came to national attention in an article by Irving S. Cobbs entitled Young Black Joe, published in the August 24, 1918 Saturday Evening Post. Now, after returning home, now Sergeant Johnson participated with his regiment in victory parades on Fifth Avenue in New York City in February of 1919. Johnson was then paid to take part of a series of lecture tours. He appeared one evening in St. Louis, but instead of delivering the expected tale of racial harmony in the trenches in France, he revealed the abuse that black soldiers had suffered and said that many changes need to happen for us as a country. But soon afterwards, and pretty much as a punishment, no doubt, a warrant was issued for Johnson's arrest
for violating the regulation governing wearing his uniform beyond the prescribed date of his commission. Typical. Pay a man to give a lecture in his uniform and then arrest him for wearing the uniform. America usually likes its heroes mute. Some things never change. Now, Johnson died on July 1st, 1929 in Washington, D.C. of myocarditis, also known as inflammatory cardiomyopathy due to the inflammation of a heart muscle and also part of some of the wounds he suffered in that attack back in 1918. Now, he was buried at Arlington National Cemetery on July 6, 1929. In 1919, co-founder of the American Legion, Theodore Roosevelt Jr., son of former United States President Theodore Roosevelt, referred to Johnson as one of the five bravest Americans to have served in World War I. In June 2023, Fort Polk in Louisiana, a U.S. Army base, was renamed Fort Johnson. Now, the French government awarded Johnson the Croix de Guerre with a special citation and a golden palm. He was the first American soldier to receive the award. In June of 1996, Johnson was posthumously awarded the Purple Heart by President Bill Clinton. In February 2003, the Distinguished Service Cross, the Army's second highest award, was awarded to Johnson. John Howe, a Vietnam veteran who had campaigned tirelessly for recognition for Johnson, and U.S. Army Major General Nathaniel James, president of the 369th Veteran Association, were present at the ceremony in Albany. The award was received by Herman A. Johnson, one of the Tuskegee Airmen of World War II, on behalf of Henry Johnson. It was then believed that Henry was his father. That mistake, though, was clarified after 2015, decades after the younger Johnson's death, as part of a further research done leading up to the senior Johnson's Medal of Honor. On May 14, 2015, the White House announced that Johnson will receive the Medal of Honor, posthumously, held on the 2nd of June, 2015. Johnson's medal was received on his behalf by Command Sergeant Major Lewis Wilson of the New York National Guard. We're not always good at rewarding our heroes up front and in a timely manner. But like many of the heroes of history, it is up to us to repeat their stories and keep them going. And that's why I'm saying it. William Henry Black Death Johnson was a true 100% badass. Hey, I thank everybody for tuning in for GunsInThe701.com's Badass of the Week. I'm Mike. And of course, we do this for you every week, trying to give you somebody from history that just had so much badassery. Now, if you've got somebody to recommend for one of our tales, all you got to do is email us at guns@gunsinthe701.com. That's guns@gunsinthe701.com. Plus, notice that little QR code up there in the corner? Well, that's for you to help us. We got to keep our studios up to date. We've got equipment. There's programs we got to buy. We got to do editing, this and that, and everything else, and keep the lights on. So, with that in mind, if you got a few bucks to spare, anything, drop us a line right up there, hit that QR code, and of course, we'll take anything you want to give us to help us out on this journey. Also, if you'd like to buy some cool GunsInThe701.com merch, along with 701 Nation and more, you can go to GunsInThe701.com and check out our store there. Also, the back catalog of our shows from Wednesday nights, and also the back catalog from Badasses of the Week. That's all I got this week. So until next time, remember what my buddy Clay always says, keep your powder dry and stay safe, you bunch of badasses.
All right. Good job, Mike.
There you go. Badass of the week.
Badass of the week. No, I thought you did a great job again.
There you go. It's a good one. That's the whole thing is we just got to make sure that we keep reminding her the little bits of history out there. Badass. Being a badass ain't a bad thing.
No, not necessarily. Hey, I did. I was able to manage to get things hooked up to my own personal Twitter. So I got it on there and I saved it or I shared it, reposted, whatever you do it, on the Guns and 701 page. But that's just a temporary fix. And I see our numbers just popped right back up. So, yeah, we'll work on those things. I don't know what to tell everybody. I have no clue what's going on with the Facebook thing. I suppose it's – I don't know. I hope we don't have to try and do – we're going to have to go into the other side of Facebook and see what's blocking it, what's not happening. I did the one thing that our support people tried with me today, and it didn't work. So I don't know what to tell you. It's definitely something with the Restream program connecting with
Fashion. Well, and, you know, we think it might have been my fault because I updated something, and we shouldn't have updated. Because Clay always says, don't update it. And I think I
That's
did.
That's right. So.
You know, once you update something, you can't go back.
Yeah, and I asked them today when I was with the, you know, with the Restream people. No, now that we're with this one, we can't go back. Now we're on we're using Restream 2.0, and I was like, that kind of sucks. But oh well, that's the way it is. Anyway, so with that, like I said, we got a great show coming up for you on Friday, and you're going to be gone Friday, but Jamie's going to step in, and he's going to be in studio. And Jamie, I know you're listening. We will see what happens. If I'm able to work it out, I may actually hop in the vehicle and drive up there. There's some things I need in Bismarck anyway, so I just might just hop in and join you in studio, but I'll let everybody know. I'll let you know, you and Todd know, before I do it, because I think it'd be kind of fun to just go up there and be in studio in the morning. But and now that it's at 7:40, I don't have to be up there quite as early.
I don't have my normal mug, but I got my new mug.
New one. Yeah.
That's what I'm going for this weekend. I got Grand Lodge in Yankton. Gotcha. So we're going to be down there.
I think we'll have a pretty good show for everybody on Friday. There's a few things I want to hit on already. I'll be discussing that here with Jamie, and we'll get that stuff to Todd. And again, and then, of course, we have Guns in the 7-1 100th episode, guys. 100 episodes coming up next week, Wednesday, just like always, 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain, 8 o'clock Central. And we're going to be giving away that certificate from our sponsor, Bloodline Kinetics. So we definitely want to try and see. I don't know. What are we going to do? We're going to do a quiz? Or are we going to do a – I haven't decided. I haven't really talked
to you. Like I said, we really need to work on these phones. If we can get these phones working, then we can do –
we can do a call-in thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a little time. That would be fun. So stay tuned. For one thing, tune in on Wednesday. Because we are going to give that away. We just got to figure out how we're going to do it. And I like trivia, but and to me, for what they get done here, I don't think it should be easy. Yeah. So, well, just stay tuned on that, and we will we'll be getting that out to everybody. I don't know when Jamie's planning to do another 701 Nation, but we definitely will get Jamie out there and when he's doing one, and let everybody know when that's coming up. But nothing else. Like I said, Friday, 7:40 Mountain Time, a.m., and 8:40 a.m. Central Time. KFYR Mitchell in the morning, and Todd's been doing as much as he can there to get things going. So Jay says, come to Georgia, my friend. Well, Jay, we were in the area here in February, but I can't go to Georgia. Now, I'll tell you why, because it has to do with your speeding laws and tickets out there. I paid the one ticket and didn't know there was another one for a super speeder, and I told them to cram it. So we literally drove around Georgia this last trip and then came in through the panhandle of Florida. So I did not get the privilege to drive through Georgia this trip. And they told me that it's indefinite. There's no statute of limitations on that. So I guess if I ever run for president, I have to be careful in Georgia, won't I?
You and your damn victimless crimes. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, that didn't hurt nobody, did I?
So. Didn't hurt nobody, but look, well, they got your name on a wall somewhere.
Oh, there we go. Jamie just chimed in. I wasn't sure. I should have been paying better attention here. Jamie says, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Mountain, another solo show of 701 Nation. One of the topics will be, are you as good a shot as you think you are? That might be pretty good. Are you as good a shot as you think you are? We got to do another Drinks with the 701 here in July.
We do. I'm ready for that. I've been making all kinds of imaging and stuff for Jamie so that he can do another Drinks with the 701. I've been putting it in our Dropbox, ready for it to go.
And I don't know. I think Jamie knows how to do Dropbox. If he doesn't, we'll have to get him on there. But all right, guys. Well, with that, I don't have anything else going on for tonight. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank all of our sponsors, Lauer Auto Repair, Bloodline Kinetics, Mandan Sporting Goods, and our newest one, Little Angry Man Firearms LLC. I want to thank each and every one of them because we can't do it without them. I know that Double H Guns is a sponsor of 701 Nation as well, so stop in and say hi to them and thank them for sponsoring Jamie's show as well. with that, guys, I want everybody to have a great weekend coming up. I know we're going to be on Friday yet, but the weekend's not too far away. So.
Not too far. We're closer now.
If it was me, my suggestion is get out there and throw some freedom seeds downrange. I had the opportunity to here the other night. Even it was a little windy, but I had to give it a try. And yes, I do like my new 500 and 700 round yard targets. So thanks, Waylon, because that's where I got those from Chris Brownell. And I got them set. And yeah, I think that's going to be a lot of fun extending my range out. So again, thank you, everybody that helped out with that project. And we got it up and running. And now I can send freedom seeds even farther.
There we go.
So, all righty. Well, with that, like I said, everybody, keep your powder dry. Be safe. Get out there. And like I tell everybody, make sure you go out there and eat some beef and drink some milk, support the ranchers. And God bless everybody. And we just like to send prayers that God will watch over each and every one of us, protect our men and women that are supporting and defending this country, and show our leaders that they need to trust in your word and trust in what you tell us to do if we're ever to become and stay the nation we once were. Again, keep your powder dry. Thank you, everybody. We'll see everybody next week.